Well, Leanne, welcome back, and thanks again so much for taking some time out of your day to join us.
Thanks for having me back, Kelly.
And I see you've brought with you a basket full of goodies this time around.
Oh, yeah. I have a couple baskets of seeds here.
So last show, we talked a little bit about the importance of seed saving and why it's important to you in particular. And this show, we're going to get down and dirty with the how-to of saving some seed. But before we start to play with the seeds, can you explain to us the difference between open pollinated and hybrid seeds? Because you can't necessarily save seeds from all plants and expect a viable true offspring. Is that correct?
Ooh, you're good. You've been doing your homework. But one thing that we do like to emphasize is that you should try. If there's a hybrid out there, you should try it because it may just produce true. There's been, you know, a lot of talk around how it's probably going to be sterile or not viable. And so you're absolutely right that, there's that potential. But there's also potential that it'll be your favorite thing you grow. So we don't want to discourage people from that, but to be mindful that open pollinated is are plants that have been just pollinating as they are throughout time. And a lot of them can cross, so there are different levels. I don't want to get too techy right now, but different levels of open pollination and seed saving also. So the self-pollinators, you don't have to worry too much about crossing. And so those are pretty good ones to start with, like beans, for instance. And then you have the level of cross-pollinators, which squash or cross-pollinators. And you do have to worry about creating some pretty funny-looking squash from, you know, those plants. So that's kind of where we encourage people to look at the difference. And again, it gets a little technical, but I don't want to scare people away from trying. And there are a lot of resources out there that really simplify it.
So what is a hybrid seed?
So a hybrid seed is a seed that's been crossed, and it's, you know, so a lot of times it'll just cross in the field. Some of our common foods are hybrids. I'm not a tomato connoisseur expert like you are, I think, but I think a lot of our, you know, a lot of our heirloom tomatoes were once, and I'm not exactly sure on this, but a lot of them, I think, have crossed and then they stabilize. People grow them out. They like what they came up with. And again, if it was just an accident out in the field, but you can save the seed from that accident that you really liked and stabilize it. You keep selecting for that same thing. You will get a variety of different fruit, for instance, with the tomato that look different. But the one that you really liked, if you see that, then you can keep saving that and do that over. And, you know, again, there are varying thoughts on this, but it takes about 5 years to stabilize something. So that's an example of like an in-the-field hybrid. And then, there are hybrids that are being created in labs and under those kind of closed doors and different kinds of experiments. And some of those are much more technical. Triticale, for instance, is a hybrid from wheat and oats.
Rye and
oats? Anyway.
One of those things.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And so that was something that was more lab done for, you know, looking for certain characteristics. So I just guess I wanted to point out that there are different, you know, there are field hybrids and backyard hybrids as well as lab hybrids. So we encourage people to look for the open pollinated when you're looking for seeds in a catalog because you'll just be probably happier with the results.
And once people have grown out their plants and they're ready to save the seed, how do they go about deciding which plant to save the seed from? What are they looking for?
Well, it depends what characteristics you're looking for. So it may be anything from just the color of the seed or the plant that you just, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people who select for beauty. Others select for flavor. So that's, you know, you have to taste it and then make sure you're saving the seed from that exact one that you're tasting. You might be selecting for size. Kernel size, like in corn, can be very important, or even the cob size. You might be selecting for early maturing because of our kind of crazy climate that we're dealing with throughout the Rocky Mountains. A lot of seed savers are now selecting for early maturing varieties. So those are some of the examples. And there are just a whole bunch. It's really personal what people are interested in.
So let's jump right in because I can't hold back anymore. You've got a few different trays here. Can you kind of explain what's going on in front of us?
Yeah, so I was out in the field today and I was just selecting some seeds that were ready to be gathered, to be harvested. So mostly beans, as you can see, a lot of the beans are drying down right now. And I wanted to include Tom Yoder, who is working
hello
with us here today in this fun activity. Beans are one of the things that I really, if you are new to seed saving, you can't go wrong with beans. Unless you plant them too late and they don't dry down, then you might be frustrated to not be able to get to the point we're at today where you can actually, harvest the seed. But other than that, they're very easy to grow. They do self-pollinate. They do everything they need to do just inside their own plant and pod, and it's all happening there. And this is the fun part where you get to crack them open and see the little gift inside.
Ooh, so can we do it?
Yeah, so we all have different
ones. Get in here, Tom.
Oh, okay, this one's mine.
Yeah, that one's yours. All right, we have different beans.
Ooh, mine have like a red speckled.
Oh, nice.
And some white.
And mine look like little zebras. They're like white with black stripes.
And they're so
crunchy. You just named that variety.
The zebra bean. Yeah.
All of these beans are Southwest varieties, and some of them are very local here. The one that you have, Kelly, is the Colorado River bean.
Oh, beautiful.
And this is, from, I acquired this seed through the Manka Seed Library via Mike Coffee. Thank you so much, Mike. This is a really beautiful bean that tastes so good. I've just been enjoying this so much.
And so, Leanne, so what's going on right here? So I just opened up another one, and it looks like the color is very different.
Because I tricked you.
That happened to me, too. Mine are, these other ones are now purple with black stripes, so they're purple zebra.
Purple zebra.
Okay, so Tom has the Hopi purple string bean, and the beauty of that is that it is multicolored. There's a white kind of cream with purple, almost spirals on it, and then the purple with the spirals. Sometimes there's some brown tones, and then very black ones. And that was the first bean that I got really excited about. A fun thing about that one, when we talked in the last show about the water conservation efforts around beans, around, seeds that you're saving. I watered that one a lot the first year. I was really determined to have it grow. It was kind of struggling. I felt like it needed a lot of water. It didn't do very well. But I kept the seed anyway. I was really excited about the Hopi purple string bean for some reason. And I tried it out the next year. It completely changed its character. It went from like a bush bean to a vining bean to a really big, I mean, those are pretty big beans compared
to
these.
They are. They're,
if you look at it next
to
that one.
Long, easily.
And the bean itself.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You get a lot of bean and bang for your buck there.
Yep.
So that one I have continued to pull back water on. This one, Kelly, the red one, I actually fooled you because I put two different kinds of beans in yours. And that one is the Anasazi bean, so also from our local bean growers here. Great, beautiful dark bean. Mm-hmm. It also has, if you keep looking, you may find a little bit different pattern. The ones that you have there are really red. For some reason, a lot of mine in the field are very red and not the white and red patterned ones. Oh, there you go.
Look at that. That's very cool. That's like a cow.
Yeah. And those were first, well, I acquired those, again, through the Manka Seed Library, but from the Montezuma School to Farm Project in the Dolores Garden, they were growing those. Yeah, so talk about
very
community
cool.
seed saving. Yeah. And then I just brought other seeds that I've been harvesting. So we have... That's an Indian woman yellow.
This is another bean. I see we have a corn up here.
Yeah,
can you talk
corn,
to us a little bit about the...
Corn is tricky in the sense that it does cross-pollinate pretty strongly, I guess, I would say. It wind pollinates. So you need to have quite a bit of distance between different corn varieties, and there are various theories on that. Again, it's probably not enough time to go into all of this. I encourage people to look at some basic seed saving books. Don't get too worried about it. I just think people should just try it. But there are some, I don't want to call them rules, but corn, keeping corn pure is a little bit of not a task. You just need to isolate the corn varieties a little bit. And then I have some squash here, and the squash are really fun to harvest because you get to open up the squash, you get to eat it, scoop out the seeds, and then you get to save the seeds and eat that squash again the next year.
Great. Well, Leanne, we are running out of time, but I want to make sure that we kind of give out some information on resources for people that are new to it. Do you have any websites or
Yeah, we have a lot of resources on our website. So I'm just going to give you that one really quickly, rockymountainseeds.org. Look under the seed saving resources. On that, you can find Basic Seed Saving by Bill McDormand. If you become a seed steward, I will be sending you this very handy little guidebook on seed saving. And then I just want to close with the mantra of how you should store seeds and what conditions. And it's cool, dark, and dry. And you can learn more about that. But just keep in mind, cool, dark, and dry is how they like to be stored. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Leanne, thank you so much. This was super fun. I really appreciate your time. And thanks to all of you out there for listening. And thanks for being part of the local food revolution.